Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, and I want to read concerning this incident that took place with the healing of this leper. Here in the first portion of Matthew chapter 8. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded thee for a testimony unto them. My title this morning of this message, I think, will be, There Came a Leper to Him. There came a leper to him. Now that's amazing in itself. And I think we'll see that in a minute. But verse 1 here, I thought, was very important for us to look at just for a thought. When he came down from the mountain. Who is this? And I say this because he had just preached this message that you and I spent so many Sundays on, the Sermon on the Mount. And an amazing statement was made concerning him after he had preached this sermon, and you probably remember it. In the last verse of the last chapter, Chapter 7, it was said when he finished his message that he taught them as one having authority. He taught them as one having great power. And we looked at the reason for that, and some of you may remember that. He taught them with authority because of who he is. Who is this that's coming down from this mountain? Well, he's the Lord of glory. Remember we studied that in chapter 7? In that message where he said, Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? He'll be in the day of judgment. This Jesus of Nazareth. He'll be there in the day of judgment, and people will address him as he really is. He's the Lord. Lord, Lord. And we saw that, didn't we? And we saw something else there. The reason he taught them with authority is because he holds the destiny. This man that came down off of this mountain holds the eternal destiny of every individual in his power. Now think of the authority that this man has. He said, Then will I profess unto them in that day, I never knew you, depart from me. See what he says? He says to his people, Come, ye blessed of my Father. He says to the others, Depart from me. He holds their eternal destiny in his hand. No man comes into heaven. No man goes into torment. But at his word, he's the Lord of glory. He's the King of kings. He's the Son of Man. He is all of that. But he's more than that, isn't he? He's God. That's who he is. That's who he is. Matthew began in his own book telling us that. You remember the account how the angel came there to Joseph and said, Don't be afraid to take this woman to you to be your wife. She's conceived of the Holy Ghost. And she's going to bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. And you're going to name him Emmanuel. Wasn't that what the angel told Joseph? What does Emmanuel mean? Well, the Holy Spirit interpreted that there in that verse. He said, His name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what makes this so important here. He came down from the mountain. God came down from this mountain. And the reason I stress this morning, because when I read this, it reminded me of another occasion when God was up on a mountain. And you and I remember it very well. We have it recorded in Exodus chapter 19 and chapter 20. You remember when God was going to give the law to the children of Israel. And he told Moses, he said, You gather the tribes of Israel together there at the foot of this Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was a large mountain range, but it just went away up into the sky. And it was almost a solid rock, just a humongous mountain. And Moses gathered those tribes down there to the foot of the mountain. And the Lord said, I'm going to appear to the children of Israel. God is going to appear to the children of Israel. He's going to reveal Himself to them. So He told Moses to set these bounds down at the foot of the mountain, where they couldn't come up and touch the foot of the mountain. And He says, you make sure they wash their clothes. They take baths and make sure the men don't come near their wives and their wives near their husbands. Because He says, I'm going to appear unto them. Well, He did do that. Remember the occasion when the Scripture says God descended upon that mountain? And there was fire. This rock, this huge mountain was burning. And the smoke was ascending up like a furnace. And there was a trumpet waxed exceeding loud, and the voices of words. And the Scripture says that great mountain, it shook. The whole mountain quaked. And it tells us why all these things were going on. The Lord descended upon Mount Sinai. And He called Moses, and Moses made his way quickly up into that mountain. And as soon as he got up there, the Lord said to him, said, Moses, get down. You get out of this mountain and you go down and make sure that no one touches the foot of that mountain. If a man should break through those bounds and touch the mountain, he was to be thrown, stoned, or thrust through with a dart. And Moses said, we've got those bounds set up. They can't get through. And the Lord spoke to him this way. He said, away! Away! And He scared Moses. It scared him. And he tucked up the skirts of his loins, and you can almost see him in his sandals headed back down the mountain. He was in such a hurry. The Scripture says Moses feared and he trembled. And he got back down there to the mount, to the bottom of the mountain. And all the people have removed themselves. And they said, Moses, don't let God speak with us anymore, lest we die. Lest we die. That's the difference in the God that we see there upon Mount Sinai. He came down upon that mountain and appeared to the people. And they said, surely this is God. We're going to die. But brothers and sisters, this is the same God. Here He comes down from heaven, and here He comes down upon this mountain, and now He comes down in the midst of the people. Is this the same God? It's the same God. It's just a different side of this God, isn't it? It's a different side of it. You go there upon Mount Sinai and we see a side that's not good. I've often said, if there's a bad side of God. And I don't mean bad in a bad way, but it's bad for us if you and I have to stand before Him. His holiness, that's like white light. His justice, the eyes of His justice, that can see every sin within a man. God standing there with a sword of justice, ready to revenge Himself of His enemies. That's the God that we see on Mount Sinai. That's His bad side. That's the side of God I don't want to have anything to do with. We can't stand before Him. This holy prophet, this great prophet, said, I cannot endure to see this side of Him. He said, it makes me fear and quake. I cannot stand before Him. But oh, here we see Him coming down from this mountain. This mountain. And what happens when He comes down from this mountain? Well, it says here that these multitudes followed Him. Multitudes followed Him. This is the same God. But what do we see in Him here? We see His good side, don't we? We see His face, and it's smiling, and it's gracious, and it's loving. That's what we see in Him here. He comes down, and this great multitude follows Him. You know what we see here, brothers and sisters? This multitude comes up to Him, and they feel like they can be free to handle Him. Be free to come right up to Him and look at Him and listen to Him without fear, without being filled with dread. And what is it? Well, here's the difference. Here is the same God. There's no doubt about that. But He meets these people in Christ His Son. He meets these people in His holy child, Jesus. God descends down from heaven, not only upon a mountain, but He descends into the womb of a virgin and is made in our bones and flesh of our flesh. He becomes one of us, sin excepted. And He said to these people, and He said to us, this is my friendly side. This is my loving face. This is my gracious face. Come and approach unto me without fear and without being filled with dread. And that's what they did. The whole multitude approached unto Him. Oh, we can't approach Him to the God we see on Mount Sinai. We'd be destroyed there. He would break through upon us there and we would perish. So He says, I have this other side, this reconciling side. I'm a Savior. And let the poor fallen humanity approach unto me without fear of being consumed. Ain't that amazing? That's the difference in the mountains. One, you see an absolute God outside of Christ, as it were. This justice and holiness and wrath upon sin. But here you see God in Christ. A Savior. A reconciler. There's a phrase that we often see in connection to the incarnation of Christ, the birth of Christ. God coming down and joining Himself to our likeness. You often see this phrase in the Gospels. And it's this, fear not. Fear not. I remember Jean-Claude said the other night when Mephibosheth approached him to David, the first thing David said to him was what? Fear not. And he said, that's the Gospel. That's the Gospel, then. Fear not. But this phrase is often, let me just... Two or three places. Joseph, when he found out Mary was pregnant, he was mindful to put her away. And he was so fearful about what was going on, he had no idea about what was going on. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him to announce the birth of Christ, and the first thing he said was, fear not. Joseph, fear not. When Elizabeth was ready to conceive John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, and what's the first thing he said to him? Zechariah, fear not. Fear not. When the angel appeared to Mary to tell her she was going to have a son, and she was troubled in her spirit, the angel said unto her, Mary, fear not. The shepherds were watching over their flocks by night, and suddenly this heavenly host was above them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, fear not, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. See the difference? On that mountain way back yonder with the children of Israel, we have an absolute God. You and I cannot approach into that God. He will not allow it. He would consume us. But here we have the same God coming down from this mountain. But He's in our humanity. Bone of our bone. Flesh of our flesh. Glenn, He's one of us.
showing us that we can indeed approach unto Him. He's made that possible. He's made it possible. Till God in human flesh I see, my thoughts no comfort find. The holy, just, and sacred three are terrors to my mind. But if Emmanuel's face appear, my hope, my joy begins. His name forbids my slavish fear, and His grace removes my sin. We can approach unto this Jesus, can't we? God in our likeness. God in our likeness. Therefore the multitude, they followed Him. But not only that, look here in verse 2. Look here in verse 2. Not only the common people, but this is something very amazing. When God incarnate come down from this mountain in verse 2, behold, there came a leper. Now that's amazing still. For well people to follow Him, clean people to follow Him, that's amazing. They felt they had the liberty to do that. But here now comes a leper. And He uses this word, as Matthew often does. Behold, would you look at that? Here comes a leper. Would you look at that? Would you look at that? There's two words synonymous in the Scriptures, believe and coming. And they're the same. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me that shall never thirst. And here we find another word now that's synonymous with coming, because Matthew says this leper worshipped Him, and Mark says he came to Him. What is it to worship Christ? Well, it's to come to Him. We don't come to Him, we don't worship Him. We come to Him, we worship Him. Worship and coming to Christ is all of one. But Matthew uses this word here, behold. Why does he do that? Well, let me explain it to you this way. This disease of leprosy was an awful disease. There was no cure for it. If you had leprosy, you usually died of it. And the only way you didn't die of it is if you were healed, if the Lord healed you. And if you had this leprosy, there were certain things that you were required to do by law. The law required you to do certain things, and you could be stoned to death if you disobeyed these laws. One was, when you discovered you had the leprosy, you were to tear your clothes. You were to take your sleeves and rip them up and rip your collars and rip your breeches up. It made you to appear a beggar and destitute. Then you were to take this cloth and put over your lip. And then you had to leave the towns and the cities. You weren't allowed to go into Jerusalem. You weren't allowed into the temple. You were to dwell without, in a solitary place. You weren't allowed to mix with society. And no one was allowed to approach into you. If you saw someone getting too close to you, you were to raise your hand and cry, unclean, unclean. And you were never allowed to approach into anybody else. You were put out. You were put outside the camp. Here's the thing that I'm saying. This leper came to the Lord Jesus Christ contrary to the law. If he had to. If he sat there and said, well, I can't come or I'll break the law. If he sat there, he would die. He either had to come contrary to the law or he could never come at all. I was reminded of that old song when I thought of that. I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. If I stay away from Him, I shall forever die. What does this teach us when we consider this morning? Here's a leper who came and approached contrary to the law. And he was healed. You know what this teaches us? If you and I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must come to Him contrary to the law. What does the law teach us? This do, and thou shalt live. Isn't that what it teaches? Moses describes the righteousness that's of the law. The man that doeth those things shall live by doing them. He's going to live and do it. The Lord gave the law to the children of Israel, and He said, if you keep my covenant, and you keep my laws, and you keep my statutes, and you walk in them, and you do them, then you'll be my children, and I'll be your father. But He says, if you break them, I'll curse you. And what the children of Israel, some of them, come to realize was this. We can't keep these. We're in big trouble. Because this law is too strict. And we're poor fallen sinners. We can't keep the law. What are we going to do? But what are you and I going to do, brothers and sisters? This is the question I put to you this morning. Do you know anything about the nature of God's law? Have you loved God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Have you loved Him perfectly? Have you served Him perfectly? Have you rendered to every precept and ordinance and commandment perfect obedience? Then how are you and I going to come to God to be accepted of Him and have Him to be our Father? The only one way to come. And it can't be according to this law, can it? We're going to have to come contrary to the law. You cannot come to Him and say, I'm going to keep it. No, we've done broken it, haven't we?
Yes.
Look over here with me in Romans chapter 3. Look in Romans chapter 3 just for a minute in verse 19. Old Matthew chapter 8. Look here in Romans chapter 3 and look in verse 19. There's two ways that men seek to approach unto God. Two ways that men seek to approach unto God. One is by this law. And I mean when I say by the law, their own works. By their own obedience. By doing certain things or abstaining from doing certain things. They seek to approach unto God that way. Well, let me say to those this. If that's the way you're going to approach unto God, by what you're doing or what you're not doing, you best remember that other mountain. Yeah. Way back there in Exodus chapter 19. And remember that holy man Moses himself who said, I exceedingly fear and quake. I can't stand before that God. I can't approach unto that God. There's one way that men seek to approach unto God. But here's another way. Not on what they do at all, but through the Lord Jesus Christ and His obedience and His merits and His intercession. Now look here and let's read that in verse 19. Look in chapter 3 of Romans, verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be saved, be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And there we are. There we are, lepers shut out. And the law says, don't you dare approach into anybody. You're a leper. You stay right here and you die. And there's where we are. We're guilty before God. How shall we approach then? We must come contrary to the law. By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. How then can we be justified? Well, let's read on. But now, the righteousness of God, that righteousness that Jesus Christ brought into this world, that righteousness that He gives poor sinners who believe on Him, the righteousness of God, look at this, without the law. See that? What's He meaning? Without our obedience to the law. We cannot keep the law. It proves our guilt. It's the strength of sin. It reveals the wrath of God. Therefore, we must come to God apart from the law, without the law. And it's manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even that righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, because there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. How can we come then? We can't come through the law. We're condemned. It's not by our works. We're guilty. We got to come through another means. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through His blood. Through His own obedience. Through His own righteousness. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him. By Him. And you know, you can't mix these two, can you? The leopard basically had this choice. He could either stay there on the side of the road and die a beggar and a leper. Or he could acknowledge that I'm a lawbreaker and I'm going to the Lord by another means. I'm going for mercy. I'm going for grace. And there's the two ways of being approaching to God. By what I'm doing, by my own obedience and my own worth, or by His grace and by His mercy that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can't mix these two. You ain't going to hold on to both of them. It's impossible. You're going to let go of the law. You're going to let go of your own works and your own goodness and your own merits and all that. And you're going to leave that all back there at the side of the road. And you say, I'm going to be saved by another way. I'm going to be saved by grace. I'm going to be saved wholly by Christ. I was seeing some pictures. Jean-Claude brought some pictures over from somewhere over in Africa. I was amazed. He brought a bunch of pictures and we were looking at them. And there was an old metal hut. I mean, it looked like if a puff of wind come through it, just scattered everywhere. The ruggedest looking place you ever seen in your life. And it had some scribbling over that little piece of tin, something scribbled on it. I said, what's that say? He said, that says, grace alone, scriptures alone, and Christ alone. I thought, man, they believe that over there too. Come over in the dark places of Africa. Here's a man who's seeking to be saved by the obedience and righteousness of somebody else. That's the only way to approach unto God.
Yes.
I'm a leper. I'm a leper.
Yes.
I'm a lawbreaker. And now I'm saved contrary to the law. Not at the expense of it, because it was fulfilled by somebody else. But now I'm not saved by my obedience to the law. And you can't be either. But there is salvation in one who has fulfilled the law. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that leper came that way. Hey, you lawbreaker. Get out of here. You're breaking the law. We're going to stone you to death. I'll take my chances.
Yeah.
I'm going to die out there anyway. Yeah, I'm a lawbreaker. I expect to be saved that way. Look back over here in our text again. Look in the second part of verse 2. This is getting very interesting here. There came a leper and worshipped him, came to him saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And notice what he did here. This, I think this is very important. He surrendered his will up. He just gave up on his will. And he surrendered himself to the will of Jesus Christ. He's saying here basically, Lord, I can't earn anything. I'm not here because I deserve to be cleansed. I can't command you to do anything. And he just surrendered himself up to the will of Christ. And he said, if you will, if you will, you can make me clean. Imagine this man here full of leprosy. I'm telling you, he was ready to die. A horrible death. And he acknowledges this. This is amazing to me. He acknowledges this. Whether I die a horrible death, or whether I'm healed of this leprosy, it's going to be according to your will before whom I stand. Ain't that amazing? My will has nothing to do with it. It's your will. It's your will. Have you ever stood there, dear soul? Have you ever stood there? You know, it wasn't an issue of power. He said there, if thou will, thou canst. You're able. You have the ability to heal me. It's not a matter of power, is it? Free willers, poor things. The issue with them is not the power of Christ. They sing about it all the time. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And I love that. And I agree with them on that. Power to save. But what they deny the Lord in salvation is His will. This leper acknowledged both, didn't he? You have the power to save me, and it's going to have to be according to your will. And here's the consolation of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ like this. You'll never be turned away. You'll never be turned away. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning like this leper came, and you say to Him, Lord, my heart, as the best I can discover it, is just as rottenness as this leper's flesh was. And my sin in my own sight stinks to me just as this man's rotten flesh stink to him. But I come to you this morning and I know that there's power enough in you. And there's merit enough in you. There's ability enough in you to heal me. But Lord, it's in your will. If you will, you can save me. And dear soul, if you come to Him that way and He turns you away, you can leave with this much comfort. That you're the first one He ever turned away.
That's right.
And you can spread it all over hell when you get there. I came to the Lord Jesus as a sinner that I am. And I cast myself upon Him to be saved by His power if He was willing to save me, and He wasn't willing. And He sent me away just like I came. You'll be the first one.
Yeah.
And I tell you what the devil will do. He'll hook him up a big team of a chariot, and he'll ride you around all over hell. Because he'll know that I've got somebody down here very unique. Here's a man who came to Christ as a sinner, and the Savior turned him away. He'll parade you all over hell so you can tell everybody that. But you know something? It'll never happen.
No.
It'll never happen. Lord, if you will, you've got the power. You've got the ability. You can do it. But I tell you, it's very important what he said. It's very important what he didn't say. He didn't say this, I've decided, Jesus, to let you heal me.
That's the thing.
He didn't say, I now receive my healing. Didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, I stand here before this multitude and make a decision for Jesus. And my decision has healed me. Didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, I confess that I'm a leper and I receive Jesus to heal me and someday I might think about receiving Him as my Lord. Didn't say that, did he? If this leper had put his confidence in such things, what do you think would have happened to him? Can you see him running off into town? I made my decision for Jesus. And you know what's going to happen by the time he hits that gate? There's a bunch of men going to grab a hold of him and take him outside the town and say, you sorry leper, you ain't allowed in. Oh, but I made it, you're still a leper. Brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to drive home this morning, let a man make all the decisions he wants to. Let a man claim everything he wants to. But a man is not saved until the Lord of glory saves him. When is a man saved? When he does this, when he does that? No, when the Lord saves him, that's when he's saved. Lord, if you will. If you will. Oh, you're a blessed man this morning. You're a blessed woman. If God's made you to know and believe that it's His will to save you. You're a blessed person, I'm telling you. That's a secret that nobody knows until God reveals it. He's made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His own good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Everybody's salvation is just like this leper's healing. You do not know if it's God's will to save any man until God reveals that will. We have such a good example of it here in this place, don't we? Lord, if you will. Can you imagine this crowd? Here they stand. This huge. Well, Matthew said it's a great multitude. And here they are following the Master. And suddenly this leper comes out of nowhere. And he busts through this crowd and he falls down before the Lord of glory. And he says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And this hush goes over this great crowd. You can hear a pin drop. Well, they look there at this leper and there he lays and filthy sores running. And they look at the Lord of glory and they say, what's he going to do? What is his will? If he wills, nobody knows. And they wait with expectation. And nobody knows what the will of the Lord is concerning the healing of that man until verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And it's the same thing with you and I. We don't know until God makes a man to know, it's my will to save you. And oh, ain't it a blessing to know that? Ain't it a blessing to know it's His will to save you? You and I look underneath us, as we sometimes do, and consider we know that hell is full of people. It's full of people that many that we've known and walked with in our lives. And it's enlarging itself wherever it is. And we look around us and there's people all around us without God and without hope. And here some of you are sitting here this morning. And you have a good hope. Christ the Lord is in your heart. He's given you life. And you trace it all right back to this, don't you? It's His will. And He made you to know it's His will. Because He saved you. And He saved you because it was His will. Lord, if Thou wilt. This poor leper's faith rested upon the will of Christ and the power of Christ. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. So then it is not of him that willeth nor of him that runneth, but it's God who wills to have mercy. I used to go to jail with the Gideons. We had a man there that was always saying to those prisoners, Just exercise the power of your will. Why didn't the leper do this? Why didn't he do such silly things as that? You know why? He was a true leper. He was a true leper. He may have tried those things before. He may have tried all kinds of man-made gimmicks. They don't work. They don't work. I'm going to the Savior. I'm going to the Lord to be healed, to be saved. Forget these gimmicks. I need a Savior. If you will, look in verse 3. Lord, if you will, I will. That's what he said in it. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. Oh, it's a humbling thing. I know that. And it's somewhat fearful to stand before the Lord and know that whether you're saved or damned, it's going to be according to his will. That's somewhat of a humbling thing, ain't it? But I tell you, if you'll stand there, what you're probably going to find is him saying this to you, I will. I will. I will. Something else here in verse 3, and I want to notice it, and I'll hurry and I'll close. I noticed this that I was reading. Verse 3, it says that the Lord put forth his hand. Jesus put forth his hand, and he touched him. Now, if you'll read this account over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 42, you'll realize that the Lord touching the man wasn't what healed him. He often healed men by laying his hand. He laid his hand on folks and healed them. But that wasn't the way he healed this man. Mark tells us that as soon as he had spoken to him, I will be thou clean. He was healed by speaking to him. Well, why did he put his hand on him? And that's amazing to me. And it would be amazing to you. You and I can't relate to leprosy. It was a horrible thing. I have a little printout that I keep around sometime of John Gill. He gave an eyewitness account from someone who was back in the Old Testament that witnessed firsthand what it was for men to live and die with leprosy. And he said they get these ulcers that start on their body and they begin to spread. They're greenish and they're white and they dry up and then they bust open again and feed off of each other and they get from the top of a man's head to the soles of his feet. And when they burst and dry up, they get like fish scales, just scaly. And then they burst open again. And their flesh begins to decay. The cartilage of the nose is one of the first things that begins to decay, and their nose sinks in, and then their nose completely rots off. Gill said the eyewitness account was there was just two nose holes, and the ears had completely rotted off. And he said if a person tried to scratch his scalp because it was a terrible itch, it would not only take the hair off, but it would take the scalp with it. And the liquid that came out of these ulcers were so stinking, he said, that you could hardly endure to pass by these men who were dying of leprosy. And their eyes were flaming red and their skin got a glowing white. And finally, if they lived long enough, their feet would literally rot off and their members would fall off. And they lived that way. And the last thing that happened, their body would be full of temperature. Gill said, this one eyewitness account said that he put an apple in a leper's hands and timed it, and he said 1 hour, him holding that apple, it was completely withered up. 1 hour. Can you imagine this? And this is the man that Luke said was full of leprosy. That means his leprosy was extreme. And here the Lord Jesus is, the scripture said. He reached out and laid his hand on this man. And it wasn't to heal him, because he healed him with his word. Why did he do that? Did he actually put his holy hands on those ulcers that were running? The flesh that was rotted?
That's what the scripture seems to indicate that he did. Why would he do that? Well, you know what Mark tells us? Jesus was moved with compassion. Now, brothers and sisters, that's affection, ain't it? That's love, ain't it? God in heaven, there with the worship of the holy angels, God so pure he cannot look upon sin. Upon Mount Sinai with all those angels flying in the fire and the smoke. And now here he is in our likeness. And he has those holy hands laid on those running ulcers, those sores. Ain't that amazing? You and I are in this world, and I'll be the first to admit it, it's not like it used to be before the fall. It can be a heart-wrenching place to live, can it? We have no idea what's coming tomorrow. We're healthy today. Tomorrow, Carl, we may lie in a coma in the hospital. We don't know, do we? Disease and heartbreak and sin and a world full of devils and who knows what all. And I think sometimes if I did not have, and if you did not have, a sympathizing God, a high priest who could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, to sympathize with us in our awful fallen state, my heart would be overwhelmed with sorrow. No, he didn't have to reach and put his hand upon this filthy flesh. But he wanted you and I to know how he sympathizes with us. And don't you love him for it? Yes, I'm sick. And you're sick. What are we going to suffer before we leave this world? But what did he say about when we pillow our dying heads? Who did he say would make our sick bed? He said, I'll make it. I'm as a nursing father to you. Paul talked about the gentleness of Christ. Well, here it is. Here it is. And you know something about our Savior? He's so holy and he's so full of merit. It didn't affect him at all. He didn't contract this disease. It changed him nothing at all. But I tell you what it did. It sure changed the man who came into contact with that touch, didn't it? And he can dwell in our hearts in this sinful world as we go about struggling with sin. And it doesn't pollute him. But his dwelling there sure lifts us up, cleanses us, doesn't it? And he said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That's what salvation is. We don't have a class here to teach men into the kingdom of God. You're born into it. We don't set up next week to baptize you and wash your sins away. You don't have to wait and go through this. No. As soon as the Lord speaks to you, you're clean. He washes you. He gives you a new life, a new birth. And verse 4, and I'll close with this. Jesus said unto him, see, can you imagine this? Just imagine this. See that you tell no man. Ain't that amazing? Lord, please don't say that. You know he can't do that. Here's a man dying of leprosy, and you tell him not to tell anybody. Besides, what would he need to tell anybody? This poor man probably sat on the side of the road, unclean, unclean. And now here he is, back in society again. Everybody knows him. Looky there. Is that that leper that sat outside of town and begged? Well, I'm sure that's him. It don't look like him, but I'm sure that's him. That's him. What's happened to that man? Oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He's done it again. Brothers and sisters, it's not so much as what we say.
We don't have to go around talking. This world is so sick of talk, isn't it? This world is so sick of people telling, well, I'm a Christian. So what? Let me see it. Let me see it in your daily life. Let me see it on your job. Let me see it in your families. There's where Christ shows in it. Lord, we're lepers. We're all lepers. Do for us what you did for this leper. Our Father, gracious and wise Father, thank you for your dear Son. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your glory. You're the Lord God of heaven, and there's none else beside you. There is no God like you. There's none beside you. You're our Creator. You're our Sustainer. And you're our Savior. Our Lord, our King, our Shepherd, our all in all. Lord, we all bow before you this morning. We surrender ourselves up to you again and render the praise of our lips. What else can we give? We were lepers and you cleansed us. We were sinners and you saved us. Lost and you found us. Dead and you give us life. We have nothing, Lord, to repay you. We just render to you the praise of our lips. Bless your message this morning to your people. And Lord, bless it to some poor lost soul. May they this morning approach unto you and find rest and find cleansing, find salvation that this poor leper found. In the name and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.